Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time to bring in our man Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. Good morning, Chip. How are you today?
Good morning. Fantastic. I was trying to make out that walk-up music Sam Franco had for me there. It wasn't immediately familiar to
You should feel honored because that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a little Motorhead for you. Time to play the game. And for Georgia, it's going to be time to play the game against Tennessee here pretty soon.
As a 31.5-point favorite. Can you imagine, Chip, when we were running around in that press box together back in the 90s and someone would have told us, by the way, the Dogs are going to be a 31.5-point favorite over the Vols 20 years from now. I never would have believed that.
Oh, I'd absolutely not. And then this just goes to show, you know, how important stability is for a program and where there was no guarantee. You know, when Georgia made a change from Rick to Kirby Smart, Tennessee decided to part ways with Philip Fulmer a while back, and man, they've had a hard time getting things back to center ever since then. What year was it that Georgia finally broke the streak, and the Georgia fans were actually ripping down the hedges that night?
Yeah, 2000.
It was really a point of frustration because you already had the Florida thing going on in the 1990s, and then here's Tennessee. And you just couldn't get past them either, it was a much closer rivalry in terms of the levels of competition in the 1990s. And there were so many games that you were like, "You're kidding! You're going to lose this one too." So now, obviously, they're going through another coaching change. I think it might be the fourth one since Fulmer, maybe fifth. I've lost count. And it's Jeremy Pruitt, which is just, man, this thing is – I wrote back at the SEC Media Days in July in Atlanta, this to me is just a fascinating play, I can't wait to see how it turns out because with Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, I think it can be absolutely fantastic the way it goes or it could be disastrous. And we've already seen, kicked whiteboards and guys getting thrown, off the team during the middle of the game. An absolute, disaster of a game against Florida this past Saturday. And now they're hitting the stretch. Tennessee is probably one of the most intense in the SEC this season, going Florida at Georgia, at Auburn, Alabama, and then at South Carolina. So, I mean, this could get really, really ugly really fast, and I haven't seen anything so far that makes me think that Tennessee can be real competitive, this season, or as the 31.5-point line would tell you, in this game.
Talking with Chip Towers, and before we get into some number crunching with the Vols, let's look back a little bit on Saturday against Missouri. We had Brandon Adams on yesterday, and he said something. I kind of agree. It's like, there's this element of the fan base, and I get it. I mean, I understand that's starting to get a little bit spoiled, and you go on the road and you win a game in the conference by two touchdowns, and then there's that element that's like still kind of spitting nails. And then there's the other side where they, are you a sunshine pumper because you're saying, hey, it was a two-touchdown win on the road in the conference. Maybe it lands a little bit in the middle of that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, we're in the first third of the season at this point, so you're still eager to see how things land, over the course of a season. I mean, I happen to have left that game thinking, I think Missouri's going to be pretty good, right? I mean, I think they're going to win some games after this. And at this point, I would say it's between Missouri and Kentucky as distinguishing themselves as the number two team in the SEC. And if that's the case, retrospectively, I don't think Georgia has a lot to be ashamed about. Then there's the flip side of it. There were some real struggles in the first half against a team that gave up 572 yards passing to Purdue. You weren't able to run the ball with the authority that you'd like, nor stop the run with the authority as you like. Both of those are hypercritical in the SEC, and I think will be real points of focus in this game this week. Because in Jeremy Pruitt and Kirby Smart, you have two teams that are mirror images of each other. Are trying to be mirror images of each other. Let's put it that way. And so that's going to be a real focus. Georgia stopping the run and running the football, which they didn't do great at Missouri. It'll be a point of emphasis in this game. And so how Georgia performs and in converse, how Tennessee performs in that regard is going to be real telling this week.
And, Chip, DeAndre Swift, still ended up getting the most carries of any Georgia running back against Missouri, but being hampered by that groin injury that kind of was one of the worst-kept secrets. It was like everybody knew something was up, and then finally he talks about it. So it's one of those things where backfield maybe not at 100%, and then those kind of injuries might not, heal unless you just have rest. So kind of a situation in the backfield where it's going to be, not 100% DeAndre Swift and then the collection of the other guys, which is why it's great that Elijah Holyfield's been doing so well.
Yeah, I mean, Holyfield's a solid back, and this is where Georgia's depth. And I think we're going to see more and more of Cook guys, too. I mean, right now he's just really been spoon-feeding, James Cook into the offense. But this guy brings a lot to the table. I think you'll see more and more of him. But, look, going back to the preseason, I wrote a lot about this. I told you so moment. I buy that Swift, has a groin issue and all that. But I said there is no guarantee that DeAndre Swift is going to make the shift from being a specialty back, which is what he was last year, kind of like James Cook, into a primary tailback role. Man, that's a whole different animal. And, in Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, Georgia had a couple of professional athletes, okay, professional running backs. There's no guarantee that Swift was going to be able to make that switch. Now you're standing in there and everybody in the stadium knows you're going to get the football. Whole different ball of wax than what he was doing last year. Last year he's coming in late a lot of times. He's coming in special third down situations. He's running jet sweeps. A lot of his big runs in 2017 occurred with either Nick Chubb or Sony Michel also on the field. So there was no guarantee to start with. Now you get into the groin thing. And the groin thing is part and parcel of what it is to be a primary tailback. This, I think, is what makes Elijah Holyfield a very, very special athlete. He may not be able to take it to the house quite as well as maybe DeAndre Swift did or Chubb and Michelle in some other situations, but, that guy is durable, okay? You think about nobody has probably carried the football more than Elijah Holyfield, including Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle, the last 3 years because he gets all the carries in spring practice. He gets all the carries in G-Day games. He gets all the carries in regular season practices. Yet where is he every week? He's present, ready, and he's trying to get better all the time. So I think Elijah Holyfield at this point, in my opinion, he's your main back, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. DeAndre Swift, maybe it's the groin injury, or maybe he's just not built for this. I mean, I had people telling me before we ever got into the season and before Zamir White had his injury that Zamir White was the best overall back that Georgia had on their roster. Unfortunately, we'll never get to see that this year, but this is the reason why. Durability is part of it as well as being able to spit the long run out of there.
Hey, if your last name's Holyfield, everyone expects you to be tough, right?
Absolutely. he is one tough hombre. I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, he does a great job of running tough between the tackles. He's got a way better jump cut at the line of scrimmage than I think anybody's ever given him credit for. He's got a really good burst. And, I'm not sure about that top-end speed, whether he could have gone to the house against Middle Tennessee State if he hadn't sort of slowed down and thought he was going to try to juke that guy inside or not. But, that's elite speed. He would start with anybody in the SEC right now, not named Alabama or Georgia.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. Now, a lot of what we'll see from the running backs, I think, is going to depend on how the offensive line shakes out here. What are you kind of interested in seeing on Saturday as far as what Georgia's going to look like on the offensive line now that Cleveland's definitely out and Thomas's situation is shaky because of the ankle.
Yeah, and I'm sure y'all talked about this week. I listen to you every chance I get, but I don't hear you all the time, every day, you know, every day, all the time. But, you know, this is the big thing with Georgia overall already in 2018. You know, does Georgia have a better team than they had in 2017? I think we can all agree that they don't, just because, I mean, you know, obviously there's 31 seniors that moved on after this past season, including walk-ons and everything, and we know who all the other primary players were, but the injury factor has already been major in 2018, and that was something that you avoided all of last season. And so now you got Andrew Thomas, who's very, very gimpy at the very least, and Ben Cleveland being out. Every indication is that Cade Mays is going to switch over there and make that switch to right guard, and I think that's really cool if that's the case. I mean, number one, we're already learning a whole lot about Cade Mays that maybe we didn't know about, you know, when he first shows up from Knoxville. This is a guy who's a Tennessee legacy. His father played for the Vols, you know, starts as a true freshman at left tackle, and now they lose their right guard. And right now it looks like he's getting most of the reps at right guard. Andrew Thomas, every indication I get is that he's going to be able to go. But we'll have to see. You know, he got rolled up on. It was amazing. I don't know if y'all saw a particular play against Missouri.
Yeah.
He got rolled up on just exactly like he did in the South Carolina game, and he had to come out of the game. So I think Andrew Thomas should be able to go. He's been out there in practice every day this week. But you see him after practice, and he's limping pretty good. So that's significant. But I think we're going to see Andrew Thomas at the left tackle and Cade Mays at right guard. The great thing is Georgia has so many options. You know, you got Solomon Kinley starting at left guard, who started at right guard last year. He's been getting some reps over there on the right side. You've got a plethora of people you can plug in at the left guard position, including Jamari Sawyer, the number one guard in the country when he signed, and Trey Hill, who Georgia plays all over the place. And, you know, let's just say, despite all these injuries, I still give Georgia the check in the old advantage column when it comes to offensive line or offensive line versus defensive line.
Chip, you know, you're looking at a team like Tennessee in the next week against Vanderbilt, and, you know, maybe in the past you would worry about Georgia kind of looking ahead to the LSU game, but with this culture and this regime and the stuff that Kirby has brought to the UGA program, it really doesn't seem like that is a worry to have anymore.
No, and well, plus this schedule is just brilliant in terms of how well it lines up. I've said that from the beginning of the season. You know, I just think it's almost a perfect scenario. I mean, you think about it at this point, you've already got two road games under your belt in the SEC. One of them was against South Carolina, who everybody at that time thought was the number two team in the East. We'll see. And then Missouri, I think, is going to end up being a pretty good team. So you got those road games under your belt. You get to come back home and kind of work things out against two teams that you're going to be, you know, a major favored against and kind of get things retooled before you head out to Baton Rouge. And that's going to be one of the great games that we've seen in a long time, that trip. That's starting to really bubble up as a big thing. Dog Nation, by the way, you know, we said we're making that one of our invasion games, Dog Nation invasion Baton Rouge. So we're going to, you know, we're going to have a bus and take a bunch of fans there. It, you know, every indication I get is that New Orleans and Bourbon Street is going to be covered up with Bulldogs. The fight to get tickets in Baton Rouge is intense. And, you know, if you look on StubHub and all that kind of stuff, you're going to see some really big prices. That's because Georgia's driving those prices up and trying to get those tickets away from LSU fans. And so it sets up really, really well for Georgia. But they've got to make sure that they get some things worked out right now. You know, run offense and stopping the run is a point of emphasis for Kirby Smart, and he's going to try to get some things worked out here in these next 2 weeks.
Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com joining us. Are you intrigued by what may be happening here in college football with this transfer rule or the redshirt rule and what it's doing now to players and transferring, especially just up the road here with Kelly Bryant and Clemson?
Yeah, it really is fascinating. You know, I wanted to get a question. I wasn't able to get my question in. Jake Rowe jumped me on the last question.
That Jake Rowe, he's always doing that.
He's always stopping those questions. He's quick. You know, he's got a quick first word. You can't get it.
It's those young guys, Chip. They're getting us. Those young guys.
I wanted to ask Kirby about that. If there were anybody he was dealing with, because you're at that point that you played four games. You know, coaches are going to start making decisions about not playing somebody with the hopes of redshirting them. And I think it's great. Overall, I think it's really good for college football. I mean, for college football players in particular who have notoriously been dumped on for generations, you know, in the whole money grab that is college football, you know, they should be able to move if they want to. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily the right thing. I mean, as a dad and as the son of a football coach, you know, I was taught, you know, that you fight through, you don't quit, you know, your teammates are your teammates. I was actually thinking about and talking to a friend last night, I guess it was, about this. So I said, think about Georgia back in the late 1950s and early 1960s. Remember when Fran Tarkington was here? I don't know if you guys saw that great documentary they did, the 30 for 30 series or the SEC
right,
series
yeah.
on Fran Tarkington. You know, here's a guy who comes in behind two quarterbacks ahead of him, and actually just ran on the field during one of the games. And just, you know, that's how he blew his red shirt was he just snuck on the field against Texas in 1950, you know, seven or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, this has been going on for generations. But with coaches able to come and go as they please, you know, with the windows being so short, the windows being so small for being able to make your impact as a quarterback in particular, I mean, you know, fine. You know, he should be able to leave. He has that prerogative. This is the United States of America. I don't necessarily think it's the right thing in terms of, you know, I think your school is your school. You know, your loyalty should lie with your school. But that's not reality nowadays. You know, you got a small window to try to make it to the next level, and I understand where they're coming from. And I'm not 100% sold that Dabo might not be able to change this. I'm sure behind the scenes they're frantically working to try to get it changed. But you need two quarterbacks, and Georgia's got a great situation right now with Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. But we've talked about it on this show before, Dave. You know, that's right now. Next year it could be a whole different thing. This is a very, very complicated thing to manage, and this is just makes another layer of that complexity.
Yeah, roster management for the coaches is tough enough as it is. So when you're talking about a player or players leaving in the middle of the season, that makes it tough. But you know, I think that's the reality we're dealing with now in this day and age. This rule is not going to change. So coaches are going to have to change the way they're handling their roster. And I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with it.
Well, and it's very, very difficult on the other set as well. I mean, if you're Alabama and Georgia and Clemson and everything, it's not as big of an issue, because what do? I mean, you just turn around and you recruit another five-star. That's where they're at right now. That's what Georgia is. And that's why Kirby continues to do it. I mean, this guy's fascinated me with his roster management. It's just such a different philosophy than we saw under Mark Richt. And I'm not being critical of Mark Richt in this regard. I love Mark Richt for a lot of the things he stood for, and he just didn't believe in just replacing guys like they were pawns on a board, you know. But the flip side of that is Kirby is always hunting, always looking at transfers, looking at guys at the other level to bring in, whether it be as a kicker, as a punter, as a defensive back. You know, he's constantly looking at that. So I think this will play right into Kirby's hand. I think this is something he can work with. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, I don't know what Clemson's quarterback situation is behind Kelly Bryant, but, you know, if he leaves now, I mean, that could be an issue for Clemson if anything happens to Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you got to have two serviceable quarterbacks at least that you can put in a game, or else you're looking at big trouble if one of your guys gets knocked out.
And, you know, here's another thing, too. Don't you think, like, for the coaches – even if they don't like this rule, they don't like this situation and what's going on, they can't come out and say that. They got to kind of be quiet, because it could hurt them in recruiting. They may not be able to get some players too. So, I mean, it's going to be like I keep saying, it's going to be interesting, but I'm very intrigued by how all this is going to play out down the road.
Now, I guarantee you behind the scenes, there's a lot of grousing about this, but that's why I say it's only fair. I mean, players players have rights as well, and they've been dumped on for generations, you know, in terms of not being able to transfer and we've gotten past the graduate transfer thing. Now we're moving into the red shirt, with four games played. I mean, think about how that would have changed the outcome of a lot of situations that we've seen in the past. I mean, even Jacob Eason. I mean, think about it. I mean, if that rule had been in place, I imagine Jacob Eason would have taken himself out of play, you know, early in the 2017 season, and then he'd have a whole nother year at Washington right now. But that wasn't the case then. So yeah, this is a game changer, and it's going to be interesting to see the impact that it has over the next couple of years.
All right, Chip, good stuff as always. I've kind of run out of questions. I think Sam's the same about Tennessee. I mean, they turned the ball over six times against Florida. They got crushed. Their talent level is down. I mean, you would think if Georgia plays its game, this will be a big win for the Dogs. At 31.5, I'm still just I never would have thought I'd seen the day.
It's crazy. And, you know, if you think about it, when you go down Tennessee's roster, I mean, who is a star on Tennessee? I mean, you know, when you think about Tennessee over the years, there's always been, you know, a Jamal Lewis or Cozy Coleman or, you know, Peyton Manning or somebody that you're like, oh, man, Tennessee's really got. I mean, I don't know, Marquez Callaway, maybe their wide receiver. I mean, I can't really think of anybody on their roster that really threatens you at any of their positions, and it's amazing that they've gotten to this point. But hey, you know, more power to them. Georgia can even the series with a win on Saturday, and I think they may build a little lead over here over the next couple of years, because it's going to take Jeremy Pruitt a while to get that ship, you know, steered straight.
Yeah, you're right, Chip. Great stuff as always. Thanks, my man.
All right, see you next time,
Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.